Doc, being in Atlanta on MLK Day, tell us what does that mean to you and your team to be here today?
Oh, man, that's it's awesome. First of all, this is, you know, where Martin Luther King was. I was a member at Ebenezer Baptist Church when I was a player here. You know, the story I love sharing is living here, you got to meet more than just Martin Luther King. I was on a flight when Andy Young, the great Andy Young, was running for governor, and we flew to Albany, Georgia, and on the plane was John Lewis and Julian Bond and Maynard Jackson. And we had all these people, and I was, they never called me Doc, which is hilarious, that group. They just called me Young Rivers, you know, Young Rivers. And I remember Andy Young was running for governor, and he gave an amazing speech at an all-white Baptist church. And we got back on the plane, and John Lewis, I want to say, him or Julian Bond, asked me, what did I think? And I said, it was amazing. I said, you're not getting one vote from there yet, but the fact that you were received in that church and you walked in with everyone had their arms folded, I remember, and everyone left, and he left to a standing ovation, is still one of the most powerful things I've ever seen in my life. So this city made a lot of what I'm about, and those people, those pioneers, were very important in my life. Still are, still Andy, yeah, so it's pretty cool.
Obviously, a lot of time has passed since then, but it feels like those things are more important today than
more important today than it's ever been. You know, we're being challenged all over the place. You know, without trying to get too political, though, you know, you almost can't talk without being political because politics are part of our lives. You know, our daily lives, and watching what's going on in Minnesota and going on and all over the place. And you know, black and brown to me right now, you know, the fact that you have to carry papers on the street to identify that you're an American is absurd. It's crazy. And that's what's going on in our country. But, you know, those people I just named were always the most positive people. They always believed it would turn. It's going to get better. Keep voicing. If you think it's morally wrong what anyone is doing, whether it's Democratic or Republican, you need to speak up and keep speaking up. I'm doing that, and it's not my job. It should be everyone's job.
How important is it that the league continues to, not just scheduling a game on this afternoon,
yeah,
but that the league continues to have a presence and to allow players, coaches to have a platform allow might not be the right word, but encourage.
Yeah, you know, support. I don't even know what the word is, yeah. But I guess they allow it. We don't ask, you know, but having said that, you would know if you couldn't too. And no one says you couldn't. Sometimes, you know, I've heard from other coaches in the league that owners have reeled them in. That would never fly well with me. I think we all are Americans at the end of the day, and we have the right to speak up. Whether even when we're wrong, you still have the right to speak up, you know. And our league has done a great job, you know, of doing that. Adam's been absolutely amazing honoring this day. You know, the other thing that I feel strongly, probably most strongly about, even over all the other stuff we talked about, is I believe in history. And we cannot allow history to be rewritten. We cannot allow history to be taken away. And our history is under attack right now in a major way. And we just can't stand for that because we learn from it. Whether it's good history or bad history, it's history, and it all teaches us to be better and more patient with each other when we actually learn what history is all about.
To shift to basketball.
You don't want to talk about that game last night. Never mind.
We can talk.
No, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, I didn't think you wanted
to. No.
I guess just with a couple days off here, Giannis has been on a minutes limit since he's come back. Is there any hope that he's going to get out of 7 minutes?
No, not anytime soon. This is planned, though. So I think it's probably frustrating for Giannis. It's definitely frustrating for us, but we feel strongly this is the right thing to do, and we're not going to come off of it probably for a while.
I mean, so I guess with that, that limits the amount of minutes your starters could play together, even though they've been very good together as you've gone on. So, I mean, do you feel any closer to the non-Giannis answer since you've had 17 games and all these
rotations? Well, we keep tinkering around. We use every possible lineup you can use, you know. And unfortunately, all those lineups have had stretches. None of them have been consistent. We're trying to identify what we do well when the non-Giannis minutes are there. Then we have a game like the other night. They were great off the floor. We struggled with everybody on the floor. So it's just one of those things that we just got to keep pecking away at.
Coach, just given the standings right now, you're really chasing Atlanta.
Yeah, I think we're chasing everybody.
Well, yeah, of course. But do games like this, you know,
they matter. They matter in the long run just because tiebreakers at the end of the season, you know. But we feel like whenever you play an East team, you want to win a tiebreaker. You don't know what that will mean at the end of the year. It can mean nothing, but it can mean everything as well.
But does that sometimes maybe tempt you to give Giannis a few extra minutes?
No. We're not going off the minutes. We've done it once in the whatever times, and we didn't like it.
I guess one better answer for this in short order, but a three-day layoff is something that's pretty unusual over the course of a season. And whether it's a positive or a negative, I've got to think it's probably a positive for you guys.
It's a positive for your mind and your body. It's not a positive for rhythm. There's no coach that will tell you 3 days off in the middle of the season, you're playing a team that just played the other day. They're going to have the rhythm advantage, and there's no way you can avoid that. You can't replicate that in practice. But for your mind and your body, it's good.
How long, in your experience, does it typically take to kind of find that rhythm over the course of
just one game? But I can't tell you. There's no number. I mean, honestly,
but there's not anything like in a game you feel like in the second quarter.
We try to. We may come out and play great. You know, there's no rhyme or reason to it.
In an hour, I don't know. At some point here, Giannis will be voted to his 10th straight All Star game as a starter.
Is that today? Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, I'm really focused on that one.
I understand, but just
is he the leading vote getter?
It's him or Luka. But I mean, I guess
I wouldn't have known that. I thought Joker too. But
yeah. So I mean, 10 straight as per an international player. I think there's only 4 other guys who've had double digits. Just I guess that the impact he's had on off court a little bit, even though he's missed a handful of games, obviously it still resonates.
He's huge. I mean, he's not only here but around the world. He's a worldly player, and you know, I always, whenever we come to a different town, you could tell people with Giannis jerseys on. You know, there's going to be fans tonight that paid for tickets that have never seen him play, and this will be their first time ever witnessing him playing. And I always think about what Michael said about that. You never know whose first time it is, and you want to give a great performance. That's what makes the great players great. They have the ability to keep that in their brains and do it every night.
Just on that for you, your one All-Star game was in your hometown of Chicago. It was a great game. Michael went for 40. What was that like for you to, you know, make the All-Star team in front of you?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, listen, I don't know. I was an All-Star player that year. You know, I was a solid player, but I was with Dominique. I loved the game because it was probably one of the last very competitive games, if you remember that. The whole Magic, Isaiah, Michael thing. I've shared this 1,000 times, but the halftime of that game was I'll never forget it. Michael walked in and told Mike Fratello, and Mike has told this story many times. I don't care who you play, but I don't lose at home. If you got to play all defensive players, I don't lose at home. And he was standing up and he was staring at our team like, I don't lose at home. It was the message. And we came out. I picked up Magic. I remember full court. Like, I mean, it was awesome. I wish we can get back to that. I think some of our young guys have that competitive gene, and hopefully it's headed back that way.
Just one more, if I can. Just on that, you know, Michael and Isaiah, we know have a long rivalry that's continued.
Only continued one way.
Well, when they when they actually played, because they played a lot of All Star, they were actually really good together.
Yeah.
How important, is that chemistry when guys don't necessarily get along, but on the court they're actually?
Well, when you're trying to win something, you tend to get along. You know, I try to use that same thing. with our country. Like, if we were trying to win the award of best country, we would get along a lot better because we're all fighting for the same thing. You know, it'd be interesting if we can look at it that way. But it was so funny in that one. You know, we had the Pistons hated each other. We all hated them. And, you know, the Hawks were this new team. People hated us. We had the Celtics. Everyone hated them. And then we were in the locker room, and we were competing together. And it was pretty cool. That was awesome.
Speaking of all-time greats, did you get a chance to spend some time with Joe O'Toole today?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, Joe comes, for the most part, whenever I come to town, and he comes in on his walker, and we get to talk. He's probably the most important person for me, just because he had to keep me upright, you know. Joe O'Toole is what a trainer. Back in those days, you think about it, he was the trainer, he was the equipment manager, he was the travel secretary. He worked alone. It was just Joe O'Toole. The training room was no bigger than this. Then now when you look at, you know, we have a bus for just our other crew now. It's crazy that this man, for my entire career, 8 years here, was the only guy. That was it. It was Joe O'Toole and the players. And the fact, he's gone through a lot, and the fact that he can still move around, his mind's good, it was great to see him. Thanks, guys.